plan to allow Medicare to negotiate for lower drug prices. Progressives, meanwhile, are in the camp of doing it all, or at least as much as possible, given the new spending limits. They argue that there shouldn't be false choices and won't pit child care against housing or give the illusion of favouring one particular group. They would rather scale back the number of years, though they noted that cutting back certain programmes like some climate-related ones would be difficult to execute. If we have to cut the numbers slightly, then we would reduce the number of years because the universality and the immediacy of benefits are absolutely critical. That's more important than having it for the entire 10 years, Congressional Progressive Caucus Chairwoman Pramila Jayapal of Washington said at a press call earlier this week. But progressive patience with Senator Joe Manchin and Senator Kyrsten Sinema and some in the House Democratic Caucus is wearing thin when it comes to making more progress on negotiations. Senator Bernie Sanders called on both senators to say what exactly they want out of the bill. "We're preparing to negotiate, we're prepared to compromise, but we're not going to negotiate with ourselves," Sanders said on the call. The time is now long overdue for Senator Manchin and Senator Sinema to tell us exactly where they are, what do they want to cut, and what do they want. The Biden administration is vocalizing a similar sentiment. President Biden himself has met multiple times with Senator Joe Manchin and Senator Kyrsten Sinema, and the White House says the president is eager to move forward with negotiations in order to advance both parts of his agenda. The infrastructure deadline also overlaps with Biden's foreign trip to Italy, to Vatican City, and to the United Kingdom at the end of this month. "I'm not going to set new timelines here," White House Press Secretary Jens Psaki said at Thursday's press briefing. "I would reiterate that we don't feel that the time is unending, and we feel it's time to move forward with negotiations, move to a place where we have a unified package, but I'm not going to set a new timeline today." Biden traveled to Connecticut on Friday, 15th of October, to specifically highlight the child care component of the reconciliation bill. When asked by a reporter if the focus of the trip suggests a red line for the president, Jen Psaki wouldn't define what would be non-starters when it comes to potential spending cuts, but she notably mentioned the care economy being a priority for nearly all Democrats, a hint at possible alignment in the party and what could remain intact after tough negotiations. "I don't have any new red lines to set for you today," Jen Psaki said, "but certainly addressing the care economy, childcare is part of it, is something that's priority and important to the president and important to many, if not the vast majority or every single member of Congress."
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what is Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You are now listening to the program Islamic Upbringing, and I am your host, Musa al-Bahadili. In this program, we strive to provide answers, suggestions, or relevant information regarding the Islamic upbringing of children. As usual, all of the information provided in this program are all based upon the Holy Quran and the narrations of the Prophet and of the household of the Prophet, peace be upon them all. Joining us in the studio is our guest speaker and dear friend, Sayyid Abdullah al-Musawi, who is an Islamic researcher at the Seminary of Qum. Dear Sayyid, I welcome you and Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us, dear Sayyid. Our topic today is a continuation of the previous session's topics about the etiquette of rewarding our children. We said that there were various forms of reward, materialistic ones, social ones, and also rewards based on activities to garner experiences or worthwhile memories for the children. Dear Sayyid, please enlighten us further.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه. So far we were speaking about the positive rewards and the types of them. There's only one small thing that we haven't spoken about. We said there's a positive reward and there's a negative reward.
All right.
Now, we'll just quickly mention that and we'll move on. With a negative reward, I mean, there are many that sometimes we do without realizing. Amongst which is to reward them with removing a punishment.
Okay.
Right? So he's being punished, for example, not to watch TV or play games. And like, okay, now you say to them, look, I'm gonna let you play, I'm gonna let you have fun.
Right.
Well, that's not a reward.
No.
You know, you cannot remove a punishment with the reward itself by getting them to do the same thing that they were doing in the first place. That's right. Not a reward.
No.
Right.
So
yeah, so giving that, rewarding them with something, or just by removing a previous lock that you put on them, okay, now you're free to go. You're not
a prison of this house anymore.
Yeah, you're not a prison of the house. You're not grounded. You're not this. Right. You're not that. I'm like, it doesn't make a difference. So we call it a negative reward.
Mm.
Right. So
makes
we
sense.
Need to stay with the business. We need to stay with the positive rewards as much as we can.
A reward needs to be something fun, right?
Rewarding. Yeah, of course. Something that they don't have.
Right.
Something they have, they lack. I don't kind of give them something they already... It's like you're drinking water. I'm like, I'm going to reward you with a cup of water.
Right.
I mean, what kind of reward is that?
Thank you very much. Right.
Right? But if I tell you if I'm going to buy you a cup of juice, for example, that's different.
Right.
That's
right.
Something, you know, different that you don't have. You know, so that's how it works.
Signifies that this is something special that has happened.
Exactly. Exactly, because when I say reward, it means there's something that's going to be increased.
Right.
Something that you're going to have which you don't have already.
Right.
So that has to keep in mind when we look at the positive reward.
Right. We will take a quick break, dear listeners, and we will be back shortly.
I am a Muslim, Islam my deen, Allah my Lord, His word Quran, Muhammad Prophet, peace be upon him. I am a Muslim for all of time.
Welcome back, dear listeners. You're listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. Today we are speaking about the whole concept or philosophy of the system of reward. Dear Sayyid, please enlighten us even further.
When it comes to reward, there are a few things that we need to keep in mind as well. A system of scale, trying to weigh things when it comes to rewarding. One is that when we want to reward a child, we have to reward them with something that they like, something that they have interest in. So the child could put his utmost work in trying to achieve it. For example, if my child wants a bike, but I end up buying him, I don't know, football, soccer ball. He doesn't like soccer ball. He doesn't want a soccer ball. Or I end up buying him stories. He doesn't want a story.
A book.
He wants a bike.
You mean? A storybook, you mean?
Yeah, a storybook. Just a story. Right? He doesn't want this. So if you say to him, okay, you know, you do this and I'm going to get you a story. Like,
I will get you black socks for your birthday.
Yeah, or I'm going to get you a shoe. Like, no, you know, that's actually not going to motivate him. But if you know your child, for example, wants a PlayStation game, with my son, for example, he's constantly bugging me to buy him games. I'm like, okay, sure, I'll buy this game for you if you do this, 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 this. I make that as a reward.
Right.
So he works extra hard just to earn it because he wants that game so badly.
Right.
So if you want to reward a child, reward him with something he wants.
Just like we said, the reward needs to be something fun for the child, not necessarily for the parent.
Exactly. So we want something that we want, the children that they themselves want, that they think is good and fun. I mean, imagine if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I'm going to reward you in heaven by making a servant of a mu'min.
Right.
Like,
right.
Okay. Look, being in heaven itself is a pleasure, but I mean, come on. So I'm going to do all this work so I can be someone else's servant?
Right, right.
I want to be a master of myself. So Allah says, no. You're going to be the king of kings. So he gives you that kind of something that you want yourself. Allah has
something you
desire. All the Quran, all the ayat of heaven is just to please you and you only.
Right.
It's got nothing to do with other people.
And there's something there for everyone. Like some people say, I do not want the various holies. Okay, you can get various castles or gardens.
Yeah. So there's always, the reward of Allah is always just for you to please you. The things that you want. That's why me and you, we work extra hard to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in order for him to give us all these goodies.
Exactly, yeah.
Right, because we want these goodies.
Exactly,
yeah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would want to give us something that we don't want. I'm like, why should I even work for it?
Right.
You know? So with kids, it's exactly the same thing. That's a very important value that the kids need to keep in mind, the parents need to keep in mind when it comes to their kids. And for example, star system, right? For example, you have a list, brushing your teeth, doing your bed, doing this, doing that. If you put a star for each time they do it, that makes a huge difference to the child.
Right.
Makes a huge, huge difference. I remember one time I was, back in the day, I was driving an Uber car, right? I was an Uber driver. And I picked up a father and his son, I think, and one of his friends. And he was talking with his friend about the system that he used. He said, I taught my kids how to use Excel, Microsoft Excel, and how they can do a formula to calculate their rewards. So he said for every action, there would be like $2. Right. Or like, I don't know, like cleaning the house, doing this. For each one is $2. And the kids would come into the Excel spreadsheet and they would put the money. Like today I washed this. And they put the money. And Excel automatically calculates how much is being made.
Right.
So the child could literally see his money moving. So what makes the child do, he will look for chores that he's not even asked to do
just
to get money.
Especially because he sees the progress.
Exactly.
In front of
his
eyes.
He said, the father said, I have, and I was very impressed by this. He said, I have a list of things and each has a price in front of it. Like doing your bed is $2, for example.
Right.
Brushing teeth is $1.50. Helping your mom in the house, maybe $3. Depends on how big the thing is.
Right.
And the child says, you know what? I want to make $5 today. So I'm going to brush my teeth, do my bed, help my mom.
Right.
And he can go to spreadsheet and he puts it in and he sees his money actually making. And that just drives the child crazy to becoming a good person. Now, easy system, but extremely effective.
But of course, it shouldn't perhaps only be with money. That shouldn't be the only incentive for
a
child, right?
No, of course not. But we're saying that's the idea, is that something that they like. For example, like I said, see what they like. And give it to them, right? If they like money, for example, say them, okay, money.
It's very rare the children understand money. They understand the things that money buys.
Okay, for example, a bike. For example, say, you know what? I'm going to put a star system, right?
Right.
For all the work you do, I put a star. If you reach 50 stars, I'll get you a bike.
Right. So it's the concept of the reward.
It's the concept of the reward that we're talking about. How you form it is up to you.
Right. We will take a quick break, dear listeners, and we'll be back shortly.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, he who has a child must treat him in a childish manner.
Welcome Welcome back to your listeners. You're listening to the program Islamic Upping. Today we are speaking about the whole concept or philosophy of the system of reward. Do you say it? Please enlighten us even further.
Up to here, we were saying that when it comes to the rewards, first we said it has to be something that the child likes.
Right.
Two, it has to be suitable for the child's personality or his identity, something that's suitable for him. For example, if he likes to be thanked and praised and rewarded in front of his friends or siblings, then do so.
Right.
Make that a priority. You know how we said there are three things? Positive
three rewards. Right.
Positive rewards.
Materialistic, activity-based ones and
social
ones.
Yeah, so if he prefers, for example, the social reward, make that a priority.
Right.
If he prefers the materialistic reward, make that a priority.
Right.
If he likes, I don't know, other types of reward, make them priority. So give him something that's suitable to his liking.
Right.
Okay, so you use the system that's suitable to his liking, and obviously when we said if you want to reward him with something that he likes as well.
Just a side note here, because some might listen to this and say, then the reward should always cater to what the child wishes. But the parents naturally must also think, is this suitable for the child, even though he likes it? Some children may be like candy, and they give them like a lot of candy, a lot of candy, a lot of candy. Mm. They should also know that there is a balance, right?
No, when we say, yeah, exactly. So this is...
Because some people listen to this and they go completely off the hinge.
Exactly. It's a sensitive point. When we say give them what they like, it doesn't mean that whatever they like, you give them. For example, my son likes to play games, and he wants me to buy him 1,000 games. I'm not going to do that. That's destructive.
Exactly, yeah.
For example, I would say to him, okay, I'll give you, for example, one game every 6 months. And I have to choose the game, for example. But not to deprive him of everything. Like I said, with sweets, for example, children love to have sweets. I'm not going to give him all the sweets.
But
for
just
example,
a simple example, because you said, for example, that some children like to be rewarded in front of other people.
Mm.
And that can have perhaps disastrous effects in the future.
Wanting to be rewarded in front of people, usually it always falls, most of the time, falls under the social reward.
Right, right.
That's what they want in front of the peers. They're not interested in you giving them, I don't know, an iPhone or an iWatch in front of their friends.
Right.
It doesn't make a difference to them. So that he would be more happy to have it alone and no one actually sees it and touches it, and then he goes and shows up.
Right.
So if it's in front of his friends, he would like a social reward.
Right.
With his family, maybe he likes that family reward where you thank him and you encourage him and stuff like that. So, like I said, each child would have his own kind of
preferences
when it comes to rewards. You tap on that.
Should a parent ask the child what kind of reward he wants, or should that just be based upon the observations of the
parents? It is good. It is excellent way to ask the child what he wants, because then again, you know. And as a parent, you make a choice. If the child says to you, okay, I want this, you say, well, okay, should I get it? Should I not get it? Is it good or not good?
Right.
If you find it's not good, you try to find out a way where you can change their mind in a nicer way.
Right.
So they leave that alone and they choose something else. For example, just give them choices.
Right. Makes sense. Makes sense. Dear Said, I must thank you for your insightful knowledge, and I must thank the listeners for tuning in. As usual, if our dear listeners have any suggestions or questions or other feedback, they can contact us at our email of englishradio@irib.ir. Alternatively, they can also find us on our various social media accounts under the call handle of Call of Islam on, for example, Instagram or on Facebook. Thank you for tuning in.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returned upon rest.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, today on the 9th of Rabiul Awal, the first day of the start of the mission of the Lord of the Age, the Holy Prophet's 12th and last infallible successor, Abu Saleh al-Mahdi, may God hasten his return following the martyrdom of his father, Imam Hassan Askari, peace be upon him, the day before, here is a saying from the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, regarding the awaited Savior of mankind, who is presently in occultation by the will of God, and will reappear in the end times to establish a global government of peace, prosperity, and justice. The earth shall never be devoid of the divine proof. He may be apparent and prominent, or he may be concealed and hidden. And it is because of him that the proofs and signs of Allah are not wasted.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
The light.
Be the first to catch the balloon. That's what competitors played to win the title at the first Balloon World Cup in Spain. The competition was held in an amusement park in the northeastern city of Tarragona. Participants had to get the balloon to touch the ground before their opponent could touch it. The event was organized by FC Barcelona player Gerard Piqué and a famous web streamer and commentator.
Get out of your comfort zone and try new things. Today we are very proud to have tried something like that and that it has worked so well and that people have enjoyed it. In the end, it's about people having a great time.
The competition was inspired by a trio of American siblings whose balloon game videos had attracted millions of views on TikTok and Instagram. 32 countries competed for the title. An 18-year-old teenager from Peru became the first world champion of this tournament. He defeated his German rival in a 5-minute final match. For those of you with an extreme fear of needles, this may finally be the good news. A group of Dutch researchers say they are working to create painless needle-free injections. The researchers have developed what they call a bubble gun. The device uses a laser to push tiny droplets through the skin. Take a listen to David Fernandez Rivas, the head of the project, explaining how the process is done within a millisecond.
So within a millisecond, the glass that contains the liquid is heated by a laser. A bubble is created in the liquid, pushing the liquid at velocities on the order of 100 kilometers per hour. And we can see the gelatin, how it penetrates about 1 millimeter approximately.
Now, Rivas says the invention will help ease fear of needles and lower the threshold for vaccinations. He believes the new technology can also prevent the risk of contamination through needles and reduce medical waste. If you're eager to get a needle-free shot, you may still have to wait a few more years before they are made available to everyone. From a voyage aboard a fictional spacecraft to a real-life journey to space, a 90-year-old Canadian actor known for his portrayal of a starship captain for decades is now the oldest person ever going to space. After a couple of days of training, William Shatner hitched a ride aboard a suborbital spacecraft on Wednesday. He took off from a Texas desert as a guest alongside three other passengers, two professionals, and a paid customer. During the 10-minute flight, the team experienced more than 3 minutes of weightlessness. Now, listen to the actor describing the voyage as the most unbelievable experience of his life.
I'm so filled with emotion about what just happened. It's extraordinary. I hope I never recover from this. I hope that I can maintain what I feel now. I don't want to lose it.
During a televised journey, the capsule took its four passengers above the maximum altitude of 100 kilometers, a point where the curvatures of the Earth can be seen. With that, the space captain of the entertainment world also broke a record as the oldest space traveler. Now, many see his experience as the embodiment of the space travel promises he made through decades of acting. The population of giant pandas in captivity has reached a record high of 673 in 2021. Official data shows this year 48 panda cubs were born, of which 46 survived. Meanwhile, the total number of overseas giant pandas has reached 69. This is the result of joint efforts by Chinese and foreign researchers following decades of caring for the lovely animals. In July, another study put the number of giant pandas living in the wild at over 1,800. The cute bears were then reclassified from endangered to vulnerable. Experts believe such research improves conservation efforts and facilitates monitoring of animal populations. With the help of artificial intelligence, Beethoven's 10th and last symphony is now completed. A group of German musicologists and programmers started the project over a year ago. They analyzed Beethoven's style and then used algorithms to teach a computer to complete the unfinished job. The work was released to mark the 250th anniversary of the prominent musician's death. The team said they tried hard to solve the puzzle while remaining faithful to Beethoven's process and vision.
I believe that if a composer like Ludwig van Beethoven were to live today, he would probably not only have a large technology team around him to help him, but he would push exactly such technologies and use them for his art. And for me, art is not something that stands fixed in space and is always the same, but that changes with the world, and we can witness that today.
When the German composer died in 1827, he left behind some musical sketches for his 10th symphony. Some experts tried to complete it in the past, but they did not succeed. Researchers in the United States have created an incredibly versatile robot named Leonardo or Leo. Leo was developed by a team at the California Institute of Technology's Center for Autonomous Systems and Technologies. The futuristic robot can walk a tightrope, skateboard, and even fly. Its uniqueness lies in the fact that it uses not just one, but two modes of locomotion. The researchers, who developed Leo believe that similar robots will be employed on a wider scale in the future.
I think we're going to see robots like Leonardo with these extraordinary locomotion capabilities be used in things like space exploration, because they can overcome very difficult terrain, they can reach hard-to-reach places. But then I think also robots will be more and more in our daily lives. As these robots become more and more robust, more and more reliable, we're going to see them for things like package delivery or helping in the house with daily chores.
Leo is 75 centimeters tall and has four propeller thrusters mounted on the shoulders. While walking, it mimics the movements of a human by using those propellers and a pair of actuated legs. The robot can transition smoothly between flying and walking. Leonardo perceives the world around it with the help of cameras and sensors.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals life, cultural events, funny trendy news, and more from every corner of the world.
Hot air balloons were invented in the 18th century, enabling man to finally fulfill his dream of flying. After more than 200 years, people are still eager to ride the colorful vehicles. Some even use them competitively. In the German Hot Air Ballooning Championships, balloonists will fly over the skies of the green Bavarian town of Tegernsee. 25 of Germany's best pilots are vying for first place. The organizers of the event expect a tight race, as the contestants have all managed to pass the previous competitions with flying colors to qualify for the national championship.
A zoo in northeast France has an adorable new inhabitant, a white baby rhinoceros. The cute little male rhino was born on the 6th of October. The zoo staff have given him the name of Mole. He was able to withstand less than 2 hours after being born. Mole soon started feeding from his gentle 21-year-old mother called Tala. Mole is Tala's third baby.
Children and young adults have once again come back to cinema as Iran is hosting the 34th edition of the International Film Festival for Children and Youth. Salman Kujuri has the story.
The 34th edition of the International Film Festival for Children and Youth is underway in Iran, with around 600 films from 32 countries having entered the contest. The motto of this year's festival is Cinema, the Land of Imagination. In the national section, some 440 films from Iranian movie makers have been submitted to the secretariat of the festival, including 248 short, 119 short animated, 30 feature-length and 14 feature films, 12 web series, and also 19 Korean narrations.
This edition of the festival can be considered as a festival of cinema products for the most important generation of the next century, a generation that must redefine the country in the new world and protects its power, culture, pride, and identity. Although the tragedy of the pandemic is terrible, at least it assures us that the next generation from an early age has experienced and learned to deal with difficult circumstances and pay due attention to the importance of cooperation and teamwork in the face of major crises.
The foreign films include 32 animated and 30 feature-length movies from 32 countries, as well as 56 short movies, including 21 short animated and 35 short feature films. The movies have been screened in two cities, Tehran and Isfahan, both in an online format and in theaters in compliance with the health protocols.
I've narrated a couple of films at this festival, and I love to watch children's films. I love comedy. I watched a number of movies at this festival, and they've been good.
This year, I have taken part in this edition of the festival with a film for which my colleagues and I have tried so hard to produce. I care about the children of my country because they are future makers of this land. I hope children will like my movie.
Such platforms as Hashur, Tiva and Filima have displayed the films, and the online audience can watch the works on these three online platforms.
Children's movies are an excellent way to educate them. They can be very useful to teach them history, show them different cultures, accustom them to fundamental values, and show them how to think, all in a simple and entertaining way. Saman Kujuri, Tehran.
The Greek Postal Service has come up with an innovative idea to speed up the mail sorting process, not by humans, but a fleet of robots. 55 tiny yellow robots powered by artificial intelligence are helping employees in Hellenic Post Sorting Center. They scan postal codes to identify the bundle's destination, weigh the parcels, and put them in related platforms. The program aims to handle increasing number of packages from online shopping, especially during the pandemic.
The end result is a threefold increase in sorting speed of parcels, ensuring next day delivery for our customers. These autonomous mobile robots are energy efficient, thus directly reducing the energy consumption of the sorting process, and that way allowing us to take a greener approach to operations.
According to the company, up to 80% of mail sorting has been passed to the four-wheeled robots. Each day, these little machines manage around 168,000 packages weighing up to 15 kilograms. Every 4 hours, they need recharging, which takes 5 minutes. Australian scientists have developed artificial structures that act as a much-needed habitat for marine life.
It's extremely exciting because we have seen a total of more than 90 species colonizing these diverse panels. And we see 30 to 40% more species on the panels in the living seawalls than on the unmodified parts of the seawall, so the seawalls with no panels. So that's extremely exciting. And really gives us confidence to scale this up to other environments and other artificial structures.
The project has installed over 1,000 artificially designed panels onto seawalls in Sydney. These craggy concrete panels are 3D printed and designed to last for at least 20 years. Only a short time after installation, they turned into a cozy new home for the fish, crustaceans, and other marine life.
So we have more fish in Sydney Harbour than we have in the entire UK coast. So we have more than 500 species of fish in the harbour, so that's quite impressive. But what we notice is that urbanization and the human settling, especially towards the coast, has a lot of impacts on this amazing marine environment, and that's what we are trying to mitigate a bit with the living seawalls by attaching these panels that mimic natural features such as rocky shores and rock pools and crevices and nooks and crannies.
After becoming popular in Australia, the panels were also installed in Wales and Singapore. The scientists say since the installation of these panels, the quality of Sydney's harbour water has improved. They hope coastal structures built in the future would be ecologically sustainable, designed not only for humans, but for nature.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most High. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamun alaikum, and so welcome to your program. Today's special from IRIB English Radio. What is the topic of today's episode? It's about unity in diversity. So be with us, but let's see what date is today. Today, Saturday, is the 9th of Rabiul Awwal, 1443, of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar. Corresponding to the 24th of May, 1400, of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 16th of October, 2021, of the Christian Gregorian calendar. As our rules in today's special, at first we open Allah's book, the Holy Quran, and we listen to one of these surahs. Today, Surah Hujurat, verse 10. Please listen to it.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. إنما المؤمنون إخوة فأصلحوا بين أخويكم واتقوا الله لعلكم ترحمون.
The believers are but brothers, so make settlement between your brothers and fear Allah that you may receive mercy.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Dear friend, this ayah joins Muslims together as brothers in faith and considers making peace with each other as a way for receiving God's mercy. The Holy Quran invites even followers of the previously revealed scriptures to unity, calling them people of the book. When members of the society members give up differences and their hearts become close to each other, the enemy cannot harm them.
Sallallahu ala Taha, khayril khalqi wa ahlaha.
Sallallahu ala Taha.
Unity is a part of nature as it is a response to the call of existence. Without unity, the Muslim community faces many problems and challenges as we see today. We are all single individuals working to a single goal. However, if we act the whole community helping and assisting each other to reach the ultimate goal, Jannah, we all become successful. Having differences in opinions in certain areas of the deen, our religion, Islam, should not be a reason that we do not unite. Having differences in normality, and it's one of the universal natures. Differences bring ideas, opinions, and are benefits to the ummah. Dr. Fakhr Rouhani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
This
is a fact.
that in all major religions and schools of thought in the world, we find that there are some denominations or some offshoots. Let me give you an example. We find that in all philosophical branches of studies, or even in the realm of philosophy, there are various versions of the same philosophy or of the same important mainstream in any academic field. Let's say, for example, in the world of literature, in the world of, for example, sociology, or in any discipline, we find there's one mainstream plus several offshoots or several bylines in this regard. Religions and denominations are likewise in this, they are like this. So we find that, for example, in Christianity, there are various branches of Christianity or various churches or various denominations. Also, for example, in Judaism, in Buddhism, in Hinduism, and likewise in the Islamic religion. There's one and the same mainstream in the Islamic religion, in that all people, all Muslims, believe in certain articles of faith. For example, the one and only God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and one and the same Quran. However, regarding some other issues and other aspects of the of Islamic history and Islamic creeds and rites and rituals, we find that there are various branches. And this is quite natural. It shouldn't be said that this is acceptable or this is ideal, but that this is a fact, that this is a reality. This is what it is in reality.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
Let's title this part Islamic Unity, because it's one of the main responsibility of Muslims. Unity is amongst the greatest and the most important duties of all Muslims. The week leading to Rabiul Awwal, the 12th, was named as Unity Week at the beginning of the revolution, Islamic revolution in Iran. That was because, according to famous traditions narrated by our Sunni brothers, Rabiul Awwal, the 12th, marks the birth anniversary of the Holy Prophet, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny. But according to famous traditions narrated by the Shia, the Holy Prophet's birth anniversary falls on Rabiul Awwal 17th. At the beginning of the Islamic Revolution, the Iranian nation and government officials named the period between these two dates as Unity Week. They wanted Unity Week to be a symbolic representation of unity among Muslims, but it is not enough to choose names and talk about things. We must engage in action. We must move toward unity. The world of Islam is in need of unity today. There will be obstacles and sources of discord, but we must overcome these obstacles.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
This is today's special. Now we point to the things we can do to develop a culture of Muslim unity. One of them is understand that Muslim unity is not an option. It become cliche to say that Muslims have reduced Islam to rituals and forgotten other important tenets. While it is crucial to practice the five pillars of Islam, for instance, we cannot ignore other basic aspects of the faith that emphasize brotherhood and sisterhood. Muslim unity is an obligatory duty according to the Quran, and the Prophet said, "In their love, kindness, and compassion for each other, the believers are like a human body. When one part of it is hurt, the rest sympathizes with it in wakefulness and fever."
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the Holy Quran, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, "O people, we have created you from a single male and a single female. For what purpose?" And when we examine the diversity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created in this life, what is the purpose behind it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "So you may come to know one another. Indeed, the most honorable amongst you in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has the most taqwa, the one who has the most piety, the one who's most mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." There's a professor in the United States, professor of philosophy. He writes an interesting story. He says, "One day I went to Sears or Walmart, to one of these department stores, and I purchased a barbecue grill, and I took it home and I was trying to assemble it." He says, "As I'm trying to assemble it, you know, you have that propane gas tank which you have to attach it to in order for you to light the fire with." He says, "As I was trying to open this tank in order to attach it to the barbecue grill, I heard the gas escaping, the propane gas escaping. And you know, propane gas is poisonous. You don't want to inhale that thing." He says, "As I realized that I was inhaling this gas because I was hearing the noise of it escaping, I started to breathe very fast. I started to feel as I was suffocating, and I almost lost consciousness. So we called 911, the emergency, the police, to come and help us." Now he says, interestingly, when the police came and they examined the propane gas tank, they told him, "What's wrong with you? This gas tank was empty. There was no propane gas. You have to go and fill it yourself." And we confirmed with Sears or Walmart that when they actually sell these things, they come empty. There is no gas in it. And he says, "It's amazing how the belief that I had, because I thought, I was under the impression that there was actually a poisonous gas coming from this tank, I actually felt suffocating. I almost lost my consciousness, but then I realized there was just some oxygen trapped inside. There was really nothing." And he uses this story to demonstrate the power of faith, respected brothers and sisters. When we speak of unity, I would like to confirm to you that the most important aspect and tool that can give you unity is faith.
Dear friend, that was all for today's special. Inshallah, we visit each other, same time, same channel. Till then, may Allah keep all of you in safe and peace. Have a nice time.
Mustafa, anta al-nabiyul amin, wa sayyidul mursaleen, rahmatan lil'alameen, jitta bil haqqil yaqeen. النبي الأمين.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is